Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Did you all have a wonderful day?
Yes, sir.
Of course you did, because it was the Sabbath day. It was a wonderful day today, and the Lord really blessed. He came down here and gave us a special blessing to push us forward through this next week and next year until we come to YD again next year. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time tonight because we want to get to some testimonies here this evening. And I have a short thought I want to share with you, but before I do that, I want to see how well we remember some of the things we've learned this last week. So are you ready for the review?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the first thing we learned about prayer is that we need to have a what?
Secret place of prayer.
All right, and then the second thing we learned is that we need?
A specific time.
We need to have a specific time to pray. So we have a place to pray. We say, Lord, I'm going to meet you here. We have a time to pray. We say, Lord, I'm going to meet you at this time. And then the third thing is that we need to what? We need to learn to pray out loud where only God could hear. And at our dinner time here tonight, just a few moments ago, we were discussing this praying out loud thing. And sometimes it might make you feel a little weird praying out loud, and you might, you know, be uncomfortable with that. But try it. Jesus did it. And another interesting comment that was made is that usually praying out loud was connected with being outside. So maybe you might want to go outside and have a little prayer time together with the Lord praying out loud. The fourth thing we learned was what? That we need to listen in our prayer time. It's not just us talking to the Lord, but it's the Lord that wants to talk to us as well. And then number five is that we need to what?
Present
and believe in God's Bible promises. And this is really where prayer becomes very powerful. When we present the promises of God and we believe in their ability to do what they say that they're going to do. So we present and believe God's promises. And then number six is that we need to what? We need to pray in Jesus' name. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus repeated this five times Jesus repeated this, to pray in His name. And as we pray in His name, we are saying, Lord, I want your character. I want your attitude of submission in the prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. And then the last thing, number seven, is that when we pray, we need to be what? We need to be persistent in our prayer life, not presenting or being persistent with our own desires, but being persistent with the requests that come from the Word of God, or the promises that come from God's Word. Okay, very good. So we learned seven spiritual tips on how to have a more consistent and powerful prayer life. But then last night we talked about how to have victory over sin in our lives. Was that practical? Amen?
Yes.
All right. So last night we looked at the first three. We did four, but we're just going to review the first three. And in those first three, we kind of came up with a little statement that we can use when the devil comes to us with a temptation. The first thing is that we're going to say what to him?
No.
Okay, you didn't get that. The first thing we're going to say to him is what?
No.
Very good. That's great. We're going to say no with an authority, because we're saying it based off of the authority of Scripture. No, I am not going to go down that path of temptation. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to claim the promise of?
God.
We're going to claim the promise of?
God.
Victory. Right. So we're going to say, thank you, God, for the gift of victory. What are we going to say?
Thank you, God.
And then the last thing that Paul told us, or the three things there in Romans 6 and verse 11, is that Paul said we need to be what to sin? So we need to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when Satan comes to us with that temptation, we say, I am dead to it. I am what?
Dead to it.
Okay, so let's do this. Number one, we say?
No.
Number two?
Thank you, God, for victory.
Number three?
I am dead to it.
One more time. Number one?
No.
Number two?
Thank you, God, for victory.
Number three?
I am dead to it.
Very good. And then the fourth and final thing that we learned last night is that we need to not make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So if we have anything in our life that makes it easier for us to fulfill the sins in our life, we need to get rid of it, is what Paul is telling us about. And I know some of your gears are probably turning as you're thinking about home. You're heading that direction tomorrow. And when you get home, is there anything that you need to give to the Lord physically and get rid of it out of your life so that that temptation is not as readily available? Very good. So tonight I have another thought that I would like to share with you. But before we do that, I want to invite you to bow your heads with me for a brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful that we can come to you again in prayer tonight. We're thankful, Father, for the rich blessings that we have received here at Young Disciple. We thank you for the rich blessings of the day today, the time that we could spend helping others out this afternoon. And Lord, tonight, as we've assembled ourselves here, we pray that your Holy Spirit would again grace us with its presence and that you would speak to us. We thank you, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It was Shirley's son's 30th birthday. Long ways away for some of you here tonight. He's turning 30 years old. And he wanted to follow in the footsteps of his older brother and celebrate his 30th birthday party by going skydiving. And he thought that it would make the day even more special if his mother went skydiving with him. Now, Shirley was not the type of person to take risks. And so I think everybody pretty much thought she was going to say no to that request. But she thought about it and she said, well, you know, why not? Lots of people do it. Live to tell a story. Surely I will too. And so they signed up. The day came and they went to the airstrip, got all suited up, got divided up with their different instructors because they were going to be skydiving in tandem, which means you're connected to somebody else. And so Shirley met her skydiving buddy. His name was Dave. He was an instructor. He had done this many, many times. He was a very happy, confident person and did what he could to quell his students' nerves about jumping out of an airplane. And so he told Shirley, he said, listen, you are going to be safe because I'm going to do everything in my power to keep myself safe. So they got in the plane, took off down the runway, and up into the air they went. They got to about 13,000 feet. The clouds were below them, and it was time to get in position. Door opened, and Shirley and Dave got into the doorway. They sat down. Dave crossed Shirley's arms in front of her and tilted her head back onto his shoulder. He leaned back, and then he leaned forward, and out of the plane they went. And Shirley was off on her first skydiving adventure. There was a brief time where they were just free-falling and the view was just spectacular. And it ended very abruptly when Dave pulled the cord for the main chute. When he pulled that cord, he was waiting for that feeling of that smooth glide that comes as the chute opens up. Instead, he felt a violent jerk on his harness. And he turned around and looked over his shoulder and he saw that the parachute had only partially inflated and that the rest of it was flapping around in the wind violently. They began to spin out of control. And Dave was trying to do what he could to try to cut that main chute so he could deploy the second one. But the handle that cuts the chute had gotten jammed up underneath his harness, and he couldn't get it when the parachute jerked. He couldn't get to that, and he was trying to get it, and he just couldn't get it. And Shirley said to Dave, is everything okay? When you're a skydiving instructor, you don't sugarcoat things in those kind of situations. And so he told Shirley, no, everything is not okay. Dave, his only option that he had, he tried to cut the chute, couldn't do it, but his only option he had was to try to deploy the secondary chute and hope for the best. He pulled the cord, and the same thing happened. Two parachutes flapping in the wind, partially inflated. They were about 3,000 feet off of the ground at this point, only seconds away from impact. And Dave had to make a decision. Somebody had to have a chance to survive this. And he decided, as the instructor, that he was going to give that chance to Shirley. Now, when you're skydiving in tandem, the instructor is on top and the student is underneath. In the last 3,000 feet, Dave told Shirley, get ready for a rough landing. He rolled over so that he was underneath Shirley and she was on top of him. And the next thing Shirley knew, she hit the ground. When she came to, she heard Dave behind her trying to breathe, gasping for breath. The first thing that came into her mind is, we need to get this guy to the hospital. People were there. They came and got them detached from one another. Dave had sustained significant damage to his body. They life-flighted him to the nearest hospital, where he spent 6 months in the ICU. When he came out, Dave was a quadriplegic. Could not move from the neck down. I've seen a very tender video of Dave and Shirley interacting with one another after this situation. It's very heart-touching. And in fact, this is what Shirley said in an interview. She said this, he, that is Dave, he saved me. I would have been dead if it wasn't for Dave. I had only known him for a few hours, but what he did for me is unbelievable. I will never forget it. Never. Ever since this happened, there has not been one day that I have not thought about him. Thought about this story. As I thought about it, I thought, you know, this is a lot like what Jesus has done for us. Jesus lost out on a lot by giving us a chance to survive. But you know the amazing thing is, when they interviewed Dave, Dave told the people who were interviewing him that he would not have had it any other way. The outcome that it was the best under the circumstances. And I think Jesus feels the same way. Sure, he lost out on a lot, but he wouldn't have it any other way. He gave up a throne between two angels for a cross between two criminals. He gave up the light of heaven for the darkness of this world. He gave up the crown of heaven for a crown of thorns that was jammed in his head. He gave up his beautiful body in heaven for a bruised and spit on and beaten body. He gave up the singing and the adoration of the angels to come down here to this earth to hear a crowd cry, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And yet, he would not have had it any other way. For Jesus, the sacrifice was worth it, so that you could be in heaven with him one day. When I look at the sacrifice that Jesus has made for me, when I look at all that he had to give up to come down here to this earth so that I could have the opportunity of eternal life, it fills me not only with an awe, but it gives me motivation to make my own sacrifices in my own life. For if God could give up so much, the Son of God, surely I can give up the little things in my life. There are lots of stories of sacrifice in the Bible. And in fact, there are a lot of stories of young people who sacrificed for God. And it would be worth your time to take a look at some of these stories and look at the sacrifice that was made to obtain something better. Jesus was willing to make that sacrifice because he knew he would obtain something better. Dave was willing to make that sacrifice in hope that he would obtain something better, the realization that his student survived. And when we make sacrifices in our own life, we need to remember that we are doing it to obtain something better. Heaven, glory, eternity with our Creator. I think of Josiah, 8 years old, was made the king of Israel. A few short years later, the Bible tells us, in the 8th year of his reign, which would make him what, mathematics? 16. In the 16th year of his life, how many of you here are 16? There's a couple of you. How many of you are almost 16? All right, there's a few more. In the 16th year of his life, Scripture tells us that he sought the Lord. Let me tell you something about the time period of Earth's history at that time. It was very wicked in Israel. Josiah's father was a wicked king. Josiah's grandfather was a wicked king. And if probability would have had its way, Josiah would also have been a wicked king. But he decided that he was willing to sacrifice the pleasures of sin, the popularity of the people, for the people were worshiping idols at that time, so that he could obtain something better. And God used Josiah to bring a reformation into Israel at that time. He broke down the strongholds of the idols, the groves, in the woods. He did mighty work for God during the time that he was king in Israel. I think of Joseph, young man sold into slavery, taken away where nobody could see him. His family wasn't there. His relatives weren't there. His friends were not there. Everybody in that foreign country served a pagan god. Joseph could have done anything that he wanted to do. But Joseph was willing to sacrifice the pleasures of sin and be thrown in prison so that he could obtain something better, the favor of God. And God rewarded his faithfulness to him by using him in a mighty way to save God's people and the line through which the Messiah would eventually come. I think of David, young man, standing there before the battlefield, seeing this giant of a man that not even the most hardened soldier was willing to go and fight. The Bible tells us he was ruddy in age, ruddy in complexion. He was a young man. But David was willing to sacrifice his dignity and to suffer the ridicule of his older brothers to obtain something better, the vindication of the name of God. He went forth, small in stature, but strong and mighty in faith. And he conquered and led God's people into great victory. I think of Little Maid, sold into slavery, far away from her family. And she was serving the captain of the army who could very possibly have been the one who was in charge of ripping her out of her home and quite possibly killing her family. And when she saw this man suffering with the affliction, she was willing to help him out. She was willing to sacrifice any potential anger that she could have held or resentment towards this man to help him and to lead him to Jesus. Some of you are holding resentment against people. family, friends, parents, authority figures in your life. It's time to sacrifice that stuff to the Lord, because that's the stuff that rots out your spiritual soul. And the amazing thing about that story, if you follow it and you read it in the pen of inspiration, you will find that little maid was instrumental, and you actually see this in Scripture, was instrumental in Naaman's conversion. And Naaman, being an influential man, doubtlessly led other people to serve the Hebrew God because of what the Hebrew God had done for him. So captive maid, when we get to the kingdom of heaven, I believe we will see she has many stars in her little crown. I think of Jeremiah, young in age, perhaps 17 or 18 years old, when the Lord called him to become a spokesperson for him. And he was willing to do what the Lord called him to do. He was willing to sacrifice his desires of life as a young person to be completely committed and sold out to God and God's desire in his life. I think of Daniel and his three friends, sold off into captivity, separated from his family, put into a secular environment where they could have easily blended in and done whatever everybody else was doing, and nobody would have given it a second thought. But Daniel and his three friends were willing to sacrifice popularity, apparent popularity, among their peers. They were willing to sacrifice their appetites and passions to the Lord to obtain something better, the favor of God. We probably would have never gotten the book of Daniel if Daniel had compromised in Daniel chapter 1. Maybe the Lord would have had another means of revealing that information. I don't know. I think of Samuel, 8 years old, maybe seven, something like that. Heard that voice in the stillness of the night. Samuel, Samuel, speak, for thy servant heareth. God revealing to him great things that were about to take place. Samuel was willing to sacrifice. I mean, we're told that he was bashful. He did not want to tell Eli what the Lord had told him. But he was willing to sacrifice his shyness to do a work for the Lord. And I know there are probably some of you here that are shy. And maybe tonight, the Lord wants to use a shy person to give a testimony for him of what the Lord has done for you this week. There are lots of stories of people who have been committed and willing to sacrifice for the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Isaiah. We're just going to look at one passage here. Isaiah chapter 6. And those of you that were in choir, and those of you that were there listening to choir this morning, this will be a familiar passage. It's one that we've read before. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah makes this statement. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. The Lord is looking for people who will respond as Isaiah responded. Here I am, send me. Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what ministry you have for me to do. I don't know how you want me to get plugged in my local church or how you want me to help my family. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm committed, Lord. I hear you calling and say, who will go for us? And I want to stand up as Isaiah did. I want to stand up as Joseph did. I want to stand up as Daniel, as David, as Little Maid, as all of these great Bible men and women said, here I am, send me. Listen, it's not just a song that we sing to have, you know, a devotional experience. But this needs to be the prayer of our life, that Lord, when I wake up in the morning, I don't know what you have for me today, but here I am. Send me. Wherever you want me to go, if you want me to go to the mission field, here I am, send me. If you want me to be in secular work, to be a worker for you, here I am, send me, so I can be an influence and a witness for you in secular work. Lord, if you want me to become a minister, here I am, send me. Lord, if you want me to be a mother in Israel that raises up children that will pull down the strongholds of the enemy, here I am, send me. Lord, if you want me to be a martyr for you one day, here I am, send me. Lord, if you want me to speak an unpopular message to my peers who may not be willing to accept the message, I'm willing to say it because you've placed it on my heart. Here I am, send me. The Lord is looking for young people who fear God more than they fear man. And I think Young Disciples has several of those kind of young people right here tonight. Are you willing to sacrifice to obtain something better? Too often we paint sacrifice as a negative thing, a subtracting. Sacrifice is not a subtracting. Sacrifice is a great addition. We are sacrificing the pleasures of sin for a season to obtain something better. And listen to me carefully tonight. We're not sacrificing to live in a mansion. We're not sacrificing to walk on streets of gold. We're not sacrificing to eat from the tree of life. We're not sacrificing to have a mansion somewhere in the wilderness. We're not sacrificing to be able to live for eternity. We are sacrificing so that we can be with God. The Bible says that we're going to look into His face. Have you ever thought, what does God look like? What is His features? What does God, what does God look like? The Bible says we're going to see His face. That we will be in His physical presence. That we will hear His voice. That we will feel His embrace. That we will be able to listen to Him instruct us in the words of wisdom. We are not sacrificing because of what we are going to get. We are sacrificing because of who we are going to be with. And that is the one who has created us, sustained us, and sacrificed so that we could obtain something better. Last night, a lot of you were thinking about that sin that you need to give to Jesus. And maybe some of you have already done this last night or this morning. But I want to ask you again tonight, are you willing to sacrifice that sin to obtain something better? Are you really willing? I'm not just an emotional response here tonight because of the touching story. But are you really willing when you get home to put that thing on the altar and say, Lord, it's yours. I'm done with it. I'm ready to cut the cord. I'm ready to delete the file. I'm ready to stop watching whatever it is. Stop listening to whatever it is. Stop participating in whatever it is. I'm ready, Lord. I'm done. I'm sold out for you. And as soon as I get home, I'll say hello to my parents, but the next thing that I do is cut the cord. Are you willing to make that sacrifice to obtain something better? Is that your desire tonight? I'm willing, Lord, whatever it is, to make that sacrifice for you. Father in heaven, the prayers have ascended to you as sweet incense tonight. For you love to hear the cry of your children's hearts. Father, we ask for great power and boldness as we go from this place to sacrifice for you. Not as a subtraction, but as an addition. For Lord, we want to obtain the best thing that a human being could ever obtain, and that is to be in the presence of our Creator and God. Father, the devil's going to be waiting for us when we get home. The old paths of life calling to us. Come and try it again. Lord, give us the firmness, the boldness to say upon the authority of God's word, no, I will no longer serve you, Satan, for I choose the other path. Thank you, dear Lord, for giving us the gift of victory. May our selfish, sinful flesh remain dead. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. And thank you for answering it. For we pray it in the almighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.